Start with a little introduction today, what we have covered so far. The man of wisdom is impossible to describe. Just as God or Brahman cannot be described, can only be indicated. Words cannot reach that state, the immortal state of the total consciousness. No matter how advanced the scripture may be, whether it's the Gita or the Bible or the Quran or the Guru Granth Sahib, none of them can reach. The Upanishads can reach that state. So same way, the man of wisdom who has become one with the total consciousness, the Om, cannot be described. You and I cannot understand the state of this enlightened master. But these verses from 55 until the verse number 71, so these 16 verses, the Lord has indicated how this man of wisdom functions in the world. And the idea is, as Arjuna wanted to know, what are the signs of a man of wisdom and how does such a man function in the world? So the Lord has given us these indicators for us to appreciate, not only appreciate, wow, 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 what wonderful man of wisdom, but how I can become that. So it is each for each and every one of us. The Bhagavad Gita is not given by Krishna to Arjuna. Arjuna was only the medium. Bhagavan is telling it to us. So this man of wisdom, as Bhagavan said, he has no raga or dvesha. He has no likes and dislikes. And we get very confused. You mean to say he does not love anybody? No, that's not it. What is raga and what is dvesha? We can illustrate by a simple example. Say I'm a teacher in the class. There is a teacher in the class and his son is studying in the same class. Now he loves his son, that is love. But if he gives that son extra marks because he is my son and makes him first, even though he is not that good, then that is raga. And similarly, there may be another child who is the son of somebody who had spoken harshly to the teacher in the past and criticized the teacher. And the teacher says, you know, this guy criticized me, I'm mad at him. And so he purposely gives less marks to the child, even though the child is brilliant. That is called dvesha, where love is okay, liking is okay, but where it affects your thinking and you do things that are either illegal, immoral or unethical, that is called raga and dvesha. So as we had studied in the past few verses, this man of wisdom is able to withdraw his or her senses from running out into the world outside and does not fall from his divine state of Om, the divine state of consciousness, the divinity, never lets his senses run out into the world. Why? Because he is centered in the self. His Prajna Pratishthita, that's what Bhagavan says, that his wisdom is always centered within the Lord, within himself. And such a person never deviates. So today's three verses continue this subject. The first two verses talk about wisdom, the man of wisdom, the first two verses. And the third verse, actually it's kind of very tough, so I'll spend a little time trying to explain it. It's a very difficult verse to explain. So let's do verse number 67. Indriyanam hi charatam.
Indriyanam hi charatam.
Yanmano nudhiyate.
Yanmano
nuvidhiyate. Tadasya harati prajnyam.
Tadasya harati prajnyam.
Vayurnamiva ambhasi.
Vayurnamiva ambhasi.
Vayurnavamiva ambhasi.
Vayurnavamiva ambhasi.
Yeah, sorry, that was my mistake. So, indriyanam hi charatam, yat mana. Yat means one whose mind, indriyanam hi charatam. Wherever the senses go, Charata means wander. So wherever the senses wander, his mind wanders, and his intellect anuvidhiyate, and his wisdom also follows. It's not only his senses are running out, his mind, his body is running out senses, the mind is chasing, and even his intellect is, oh, chalo, let's go. Anuvidhiyate. So what happens? Tadasya, of this person, harati prajna, his wisdom, whatever knowledge and wisdom this person had acquired from his parents, from his guru, from the scriptures, gets stolen away. Harati means stolen away. Vayu, beautiful example Krishna gives. Vayur navam iva ambasi. Ambasi means in the water, navam. There is a boat, and how the boat gets pushed by the winds. So similarly, vayu is the wind. So just as a boat, nava, gets pushed by the wind, such a person gets his wisdom stolen away. Most beautiful example, we'll talk a little bit about that. So when Bhagavan talks about the boat, what is the boat? The boat is this body. It's symbolic. So just as a boat is going in the water and a strong wind comes and the captain of the boat is asleep, or the wind is so strong that he's trying to control, he's unable to control the rudder, the steering, and the boat, instead of going in this direction to this destination, ends up in some wrong place, wrong port. Those of you who watch football, it's like an interception. You know, the quarterback is taking his team towards this goal, and suddenly he throws an interception, and now what happens? The game switches. Instead of going this way, now everybody's going towards the other end. So similarly, the boat which was supposed to go towards in this direction, when the strong wind comes and the captain does not have the boat under his control, it gets diverted separately in a wrong direction. So let us see how this boat example applies to us. So our body is the boat. The body is my boat, which I am driving at this moment. The water are the vishayas, are the sense objects. So my body, my senses is playing in the sense objects. My eyes are seeing, ears are hearing, nose is smelling, tongue is tasting, hand is touching. So I hear, see, smell, taste, touch, all these objects that I see and hear and smell, taste. So the objects are the water, vishayas. Body is the boat. What is the strong wind? It is the mind and the mind. The mind is the strong wind when it affects the senses, or the mind and senses, you can say, are the strong wind which takes this individual in the water, deviates his mind. And the intellect is the captain who is supposed to guide the boat. So when my knowledge is not that firmly established, then what happens? Any temptation comes, suddenly the mind gets disturbed. I see something good, let's go get it. And instead of going towards the Lord, we start running towards the objects. So from Atma Rama, we become Vishaya Rama. So from going towards the Lord, this person's wisdom goes towards the world of objects, towards whatever is temptation, whatever is our desire, whatever is our addiction, whatever is the things I like, we run towards and go away from the Lord. And in the process, as we talked earlier, we do things that are wrong to acquire. So how can we be established in this knowledge? So they say, don't have a small boat, have a ship. See, a small boat can easily get, you know, distracted. But if you have a big ship and you are the captain of a ship, no matter how strong the wind comes, nothing happens. But make sure the ship is not like the Titanic. Even though it was said to be the unsinkable, what happened to the ship? You know, an iceberg hit it and it got destroyed. So similarly, our wisdom should be like the ship. I should be so strong in my understanding. My intellect should always be connected with the Lord, with the scriptures. And when my understanding is strong, then no matter what waves come, no matter what temptations come, no matter what my mind says, I feel like doing this, I don't feel like doing this, this person's understanding is firm and nothing can deviate this person from his or her understanding. So one has to be firm in the knowledge and abide in the knowledge, not only listen, but go home and think about it and then make sure it becomes part of our life. So that I'm so, and if you look at these saints, how many problems they had. Look at Jesus, look at Mirabai, look at Tukaram, look at Narasimha Mehta, look at Sant Gyaneshwar. I mean, the whole family, they suffered so terribly, but their wisdom was so firmly established that nothing could deviate them. So that is one way of looking at it, that the boat gets disturbed. The second is chanchal mana, the mind which is very chanchala, very moving all the time, not stable. A mind that is all the time moving is like the moving waters. If the waters are constantly moving, it will push my boat. My boat, no matter how hard I try, suppose there is a strong current comes. I try my best, I struggle, and the boat is pushed because the current is too strong. Even all my efforts, I'm not able to. So what does a wise person do? There is a strong current coming, there is a storm coming, and there is a typhoon, and there is a tsunami, and strong waves. Even the greatest ship cannot withstand it. So what does the wise person do? Get out of the current, go to the port, put his boat in the anchor. Anchor the boat in the ground, then let the current come. Once the wave passes, then I can continue my journey. So in life, we will get temptations like that iceberg. You know, it came and hit the ship, and the ship got destroyed. So similarly, in mind, we will get some big temptations. Even though I'm firmly established in the knowledge, the temptation came and took me away. So that current of temptation comes. So what is my anchor? My anchor is the Lord. Anchor your mind firmly in the Lord. Never lose your faith in Him or her. And constantly think about the Lord and keep saying, you know, there is a famous Bhagwan Bhajan, you know, Bhagwan Meri Naiya Us Paar Utaar Lena. He says, take my boat across this ocean. By myself, I am nothing. See, that one has to totally understand. Not as a putting myself down, but the fact is that by myself, what can we accomplish? If God is not speaking through me, you think a single word would come out? If God and the Guru had not, by myself, I am nothing. So that understanding should become, not as a putting myself down, but with a firm understanding that by myself I can accomplish nothing. It is only the Lord that is doing everything. So whatever is happening, the Lord is doing, and whatever is happening is good, and whatever is happening is correct, and whatever is happening is for my benefit. With that understanding, when you work in the world, then nothing can shake you. The Lord is doing everything. Lord is in me. How can anybody shake me? You know, there is this beautiful bhajan. If you haven't heard it, please do that. Swami Tejomayananda ji sings that Janaki Nath Sahai. I listened to it so many times. I have memorized it and I apply that. Okay, when the Lord Ram is with you, then what can the planets do? Suraj, Mangala, Soma, Bhrigu, Suti. He says these people are afraid of Shani and, you know, what is that, Rahu and Ketu and all. They cannot do anything. The Lord of the universe who created all of them. And then the second verse, he says, Jaape kripa kare karunanidhi, taase jagatame bhag badeyo. He says the one who the Lord of the universe has become compassionate to, then he needs nothing. Everything he has acquired. So never lose your faith in Lord. Never forget the Lord. And what happens to us is that, yes, and this is very good. Or when we are sitting in the puja room, we remember God. Okay, I remember Krishna, I remember. But as we get busy in the world, we forget. And it happens to all of us. It happens to me too when I'm so busy. So they say that start your day with remembering the Lord. As soon as you wake up, just chant His name, whatever your mantra is. few times with faith, with eyes closed, and then and only then I'll get out of bed. Then after you take a shower, thank him, oh Lord, for this warm. I've told that before, but very important, after a shower, be grateful to the Lord for this warm, plentiful water I have. And then we always, you know, should start with some puja, sit in front of the Lord, offer some flowers or light a lamp or just remember the Lord. And when you're collecting flowers or when you're lighting the lamp, I'm doing it for the Lord. Same thing when the breakfast comes or the food comes, the Lord is in front of me, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi. So starting the day, and then at work, frequently, periodically remind yourself that the Lord is functioning through me and the person in front of me who I'm dealing with is the Lord. We talked about that last week in our study group on Wednesday. Actually, Wednesday, we have a very good study group, 8 to 9, if those of you who wish to join. And this Wednesday, of course, Swami Ishwarananji will be there. But from the 25th, we are starting a new book, Vivek Chudamani. It's a very wonderful book. So Wednesday, 8 to 9, we do have study group. We meet in the front room. So if anybody would like to join, we are starting a new book. So the point is that throughout the day, I should see the Lord, whoever, and see it in the trees, see it in the mountains, see it in the sunrise. Go out in the morning and chant the Gayatri Mantra. Those of you who know it, know that. And chant it with meaning that the Lord that is behind the sun, that illumines the sun, may it illumine my intellect so I may know the truth. And so start your day with Gayatri Mantra. Face the east and just chant to the Lord of the sun. And then when you see the beautiful moon, the last few days we had a beautiful crescent moon in the morning. Remember Lord Shiva. That's what I do. I say Shiva is standing there. He's sitting there in meditation and the moon is his adornment. He's his, decoration. So anytime you see a flower, you see the smile of a child. So constantly anchor your faith in the Lord and always remember he will take care of me. That one should never forget, that no matter how many problems come, if I have faith in God, he will take care of me. So have that firm faith and remember that this progress is not going to be sudden. You know, suddenly they say, oh, how about miracles happen? Suddenly some miracle happened and, you know, Jesus put his hand or, you know, Tukaram's life, we find so many miracles. Mirabai's life. Miracles happen because of past karmas. Nothing happens without a reason. Because of past karmas, that particular time, whatever that happens, but generally life is a slow progress. You know, slowly, slowly you progress. And our job is to put the effort. All I should do is put the effort. I should do swadhyay. Self-study of these books at home, the Bhagavad Gita. Swami Ishwarananda ji will be here next Monday to Friday, attend lectures from these acharyas, come to the Gita class every Sunday where we can discuss. We have other study groups. We have a Devi group on Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30 where ladies can attend. We have Wednesday study group. We have Thursday meditation class. 6:30. So there are so many opportunities to constantly keep our effort going. So my job is to put the effort, and then the Guru and Bhagwan is always available to support us, to guide us. So that's what the essence of this very, very beautiful verse is, that let not your mind be pushed by any temptation that comes, any feelings. I don't feel like doing it. No, once I have decided, there is nothing like I don't feel like. If it is, and always we find there are some things we don't like, but we have to do it. So just do it without complaint. And I'll talk about complaining in the next verse.